Folks who buy older homes will often complain that they have little closet space. What is now seen as a design flaw was not an oversight, but simply a reality of another time. Earlier generations didn't have many articles of clothing to store. Fast forward to today, the feature that sells a house is a walk-in closet, often the size of a room. There hang more outfits than one can count, and shelf upon shelf of shoes and accessories. Still, the question is, what to wear? What do you wear? What do you wear if, as suggested by the Apostle Paul, you are to be clothed by Christ? The wealth of riches displayed in that luxurious closet offers no better option than that affording a pauper with merely the clothes on her or his back. In fact, none of that matters. If beauty is only skin deep, this Christ-like attire is truly deeper. Elijah has a mantle. It's a cloak-like garment, a sign of his anointing. It's laid on his shoulders as a sign of his calling. As he shakes in his boots, having been routed for his refuge inside of a cave, he takes this article of clothing and he pulls it over his head. Think of that scene in an old movie where a child tries to run and hide under the covers of their bed. Totally futile. Once one sees this body shape under the blankets. As if Elijah could evade God by doing the same. Jesus' Sermon on the Mount lauds the likes of Elijah, the blessed who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. When forced out of the cave and out from under the cover of his garment, Elijah cries, "I've been zealous. I've worked my heart out, and look, the people that I've tried to set straight, look at them. Now they're trying to kill me." How I love this old book, the Holy Bible, this ancient book whose stories never get old. Eons have elapsed, and the old adage still rings true time and again. History repeats itself. Elijah's kin can be found in recent times and even on the evening news. Prophetic witness will always be a perilous pursuit. The Message Bible is the work of the late Eugene Peterson, a Presbyterian scholar who published his translation in 2002. Many editions of the Message Bible include Peterson's essays that introduce each of the books of the Bible. The one offered for 1 and 2 Kings I found to not only be helpful, but extremely timely. Let me share with you an excerpt. "The story of our ancestors, the Hebrew kings, began in the books of Samuel. The story makes it clear that it was not God's idea that the Hebrews have a king. But since they insisted, God let them have their way. But it never worked out very well. After 500 years and over 40 kings, there wasn't much to show for it. Even the bright spots, David, Hezekiah, Josiah, they weren't very bright. The Book of Kings is a 500-year documentation proving that the Hebrew demand of God to have a king was about the worst thing they could have asked for. End quote. So the bottom line, according to Peterson, is that the Book of Kings could easily be titled, No Kings. The ultimate ruler of the universe, the sovereign of all that is, the Lord God, the one that Elijah is called to serve, is the king. And meanwhile, Elijah butts heads with some of the worst human kings. Kings that have abandoned Israel's God in favor of Baal. Kings like Ahab have garnered a strong following doing this. They promote this worship of these false gods, the gods of fertility, the gods of false promises, the gods of fast profits. So Elijah engages in something of a showdown with these prophets of Baal, and he displays the primacy, the power, and the strength, and the authority of the Lord God. And Ahab's not amused. Ahab knows he's been shown up. And so the king and his false gods are powerless, and like the emperor with no clothes, he's mad. He's mad, and he has no clothes, but he has enforcers, and he sends them out to find Elijah and avenge the deed. So now we find Elijah in that cave, and we find that he is a soulmate to anyone who feels they have done the right thing, but to no avail. Elijah is anyone who's just ready to give up in utter despair. Elijah is the one who has every reason to fear the consequences for having taken a strong stand. Elijah feels powerless to change anything, so eventually he just throws up his hands and says, why bother? Why not just go and hide? Why not pull the very thing, the clothing that symbolizes who he is, pull it over his head and make it all go away? Earthquake, wind, fire, the sound of silence. Is it God? No, we're told. But it does the trick. Elijah's rousted from the cave, rousted from his complacency. He's sent back on the road again. Our passage from Galatians, chapter 3, verse 25 reads, now that faith has come. In the Message translation, that same verse is, now that you have arrived at your destination. Now that you have arrived at your destination, I know those words very well, and I can hear them spoken in the voice of the female sounding voice that's in my GPS system in my car. You have arrived at your destination, and the route guidance has ended. Have you ever heard that and then you doubt, am I really in the right place? When I worked for hospice, the GPS system that we had in our work tablets more than occasionally got it wrong. And there was one time that voice stopped. And then it said, there is no more information for your location. The GPS did not know where I was, and neither did I, as I tried to navigate a rural back road. That's where faith kicks in. Now that you've arrived at your destination by faith in Christ, you are in a direct relationship with God, reads Galatians. Your baptism in Christ was not just a washing you up for a fresh start. It also involved dressing you in an adult faith wardrobe. I arrive at my destination. But before I get out of my car, I'll pull the visor down and I look in the mirror and I just make sure everything's sort of straight and try to put my best forward. Elijah comes out of that cave. He takes his mantle and puts it in its proper place, and I can just imagine that Elijah's doing this, patting himself down, making sure he's tidy. Not so many weeks ago, the world got its first look at a new pope. And as the custom, Pope Leo is ushered out onto that balcony to greet the faithful. But there was something in his demeanor, and I think it's still there, that suggests he's rather uncomfortable in his new duds. How would one ever adjust to wearing that distinctive garment? Elisha will one day place his mantle, this sign of his prophetic office, on the shoulders of his protege, Elisha. And Elisha will immediately complain that it's too heavy. Was it really that heavy? Or was it seemingly just too much for a humble one to bear? So we are to wear Christ in that same way, with all faith and humility, with all beauty and strength. The Apostle Paul, I think, he was spot on. He was spot on to make this analogy that likens our faith life to getting dressed each day. We start out our days with that perennial question, what am I going to wear? Often we seek guidance. It'll help us to make a choice. Tell us, is it going to be hot? Is it going to be cold? What do we have to do? Where do we have to go? Who do we have to see? There are times when we look at a closet full of options and wonder if we have anything, if we have the right thing to put on. Then the day turns out differently than we expected, and we wished we had put on something different. We wish for all the world we could just go and change. And we can, now that faith has come. Amen.